B-Pod Studios.
This is Jason Tatum.
Tatum steps to the corner. Fall away three is good. Tatum straight away three is good.
The Celtics play here. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Toucher. I can't believe he did that.
Rich.
Didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5, Sports Hub.
Now my headphones are in mono. You have to bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. All right. So, Rich, there is a matter of national significance going on right now.
So, a lot of people, because of current events, have been tuning into the news and trying to get a good hot take when it comes to, you know, the impeachment process and everything that's all the serious business that's been happening. And last night, people might have been tuning in to a certain MSNBC.
Can I say something? The country has never been this polarized politically. And this is no different.
Unfortunately, Fred, it's time to take a trip to fart court.
Off.
So many fart courts recently. The amount of people that cannot control themselves.
It's like amazing.
It's like a plague. I blame Big Vegetable.
So, Fred, last night I was sent this several thousand times from our listeners because they know that we are the forefront. We're the experts on this because judgments do need to be made. And yesterday on MSNBC, there was Chris Matthews, who was sitting down with Representative Eric Swalwell, and they were doing a split-screen television interview. And at one point, there may have indeed been something, a sound that was made, and we just need to judge whether or not it's what we think it is. Fred, have you heard this by any chance?
I have not.
Okay. Let's go to fart court.
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard...
That's got to be Chris Matthews.
So they show...
Because there's no way you talk through that.
So they go from split screen, where it's got Chris Matthews on the left, Eric Swalwell on the right, and then they go directly, they fill the screen with Eric Swalwell. Now, Eric Swalwell does pause for a moment.
Okay,
so
whatever this political guy is, he's off. He's free and clear. Because there's no way you're not stopping.
He's also a slim guy. So just based on tone alone.
No, because that's something that was pushed. I mean, that was something that was not, I don't know how you make that mistake. Do you think you're
that one
a
did not
mic?
Slip? Let's, that is not a slip.
No, that is a
power
statement.
That's a bulldozer.
I wonder if that's a power move.
And that's why I think it was probably Chris Matthews, because the camera was off him. He thought maybe they'd potted it down.
Yeah, he didn't think he was in a live mic.
They wouldn't see his, you know, face turn into a grape because of all the pressure that he had to put it out. But let's listen to the evidence one more time.
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard...
Talk about he stopped.
He did yield to the senator.
There was a pause.
There was a pause.
That, I mean, what's funny is it's been happening when they were grilling Kavanaugh. There was a representative from Missouri that just farted into the microphone.
Cheap.
I mean, it's got depth.
Cheap.
Okay, so.
Cheap. Cheap.
I mean.
Cheap. Cheap.
Now, Rich, did anyone bring up any concerns?
Cheap.
So afterwards, they just, like, pros, they continue to move on. Now, Fred, there is a conspiracy, however, in this. Because to me, this is an open and shut case.
Oh, no, this is this is a unanimous verdict.
Really, the only question would be, which, you know, who supplied it? Neither one denied it, so there's no evidence, you know, going in that direction. And the only question is, of its validity, is was that a cell phone that was going off and vibrating against one of their seats?
Oh, please. Oh, first of all, I mean, if it's Chris Matthews, and so he doesn't even have a cell phone on him. It's certainly not in his back pocket.
And this guy's not sitting down either, I don't believe, Representative Eric Salt. Well, let's just say it's not him.
It's not the representative.
Are you sure it's not him? Have you seen his face? There's a little bit of a...
like a sly...
Like a little bit of a sideways, like... And he kind of does this thing with his eyes, you know, like kind of like when you're, you know, when you're going number one, or it's just like... You know, it's like a little satisfaction eyes.
Well, maybe he's not a big fan of Chris Matthews, and he was pleased this was going on.
Okay, so hang on. Are you telling... Dan O'Brien has more information. Yes.
Been given inside information that the official reasoning or excuse was that a coffee mug was dragged across the countertop.
That is no coffee mug!
No, that is...
I yield the floor to you, Rich.
I'll go do an experiment with Bird right now if you want. Drag a coffee cup around the counter.
I need a coffee mug, and I need it stat!
All right, now, wait
Evidence Department.
Now, who... Was this a press release? Or how did this come out?
Like, released the press?
Yeah, it was a press release. Okay. MSNBC put out a press release.
Are you kidding me?
I'm getting information fed to me, you know?
All right.
Here comes Nick.
All right. So I have in my hand a... They say dragged across.
Ceramic coffee mug. There you go.
I have a ceramic coffee mug. All right. I'm going to play the evidence one more time, and then immediately afterwards, I will drag the coffee cup, and you tell me if it sounds anything similar.
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard... Cheat.
If the glove don't fit, you must have quit.
Cheat.
No,
I say nay.
I'm hearing
that is not a fart.
There is also information coming in that Matthews is no stranger to breaking wind on television.
You see, now we've Tim Russert's done it before.
Appeared on that program.
That was more.
That was
that might have been more of a slip.
That was like a bassoon.
That was like a trombone. Not a trombone. That was like
somebody fell on a tuba.
Yeah, that was a tuba.
Now, you know what, Fred, we're at the point now where he just play name that fart. You know who this is. Like, name the celebrity.
Oh, that's Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace, of course.
Nancy Grace, the greatest of all time, because she was trying to redo her image. And she got all dolled up for that event. And her stomach just went, no.
What do we do? Five calls smells it all? Is that who?
I think that it's an open and shut case, Rich.
All I know is that there's people saying it's a coffee mug, that it's a vibrating phone. I think it's open.
Let me hear for the vibrating phone.
Okay, somebody call. Hey, call me. I'll put it on vibrate right now.
And then put it on the seat.
Okay. The seat here's a cushion.
Yeah, but that's what they sit on.
Oh, Nick's calling. Hang on.
All right. Experiment. Many variables.
Nothing. That's it. I mean, even if it's vibrating, it's sitting right there on it, and you can hardly even hear it.
Yeah.
You're telling me this is a vibrating phone?
That's
a Proud Mary keep on burning.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Chris Matthews, just to keep your credibility up, you gotta...
Mike Francesa, what do you think about that?
Mike Francesa appears to fought while ripping Adam Gase.
He does. Bob Sozzi, what do you think?
They're exceptionally hot right now, and I will tell you...
Scott Zolak. Okay, Scott.
All right. There's our weekly fart update. All right. I was approached by one of the other radio personalities, and they were going after the representative.
I think it's Chris Matthews.
There's not a doubt in the... It's Chris Matthews. There's not even a debate. I mean, we have so many things to worry about as a nation. I mean, when you know something's true, you got to move on.
Right.
Chris Mannix is going to join us.
So instead of the fart's not real, you must appeal.
He is appealing. He's appealing he's not appealing to common sense.
Hang on. Okay. So according to one of our listeners, you're right. This is not the first time Chris Matthews done it. Can you pull up that one, please? And then we can compare the two and out which one it truly was. And then we'll get forensics in here to take a look at the wavelength to see whether or not it is indeed.
See, if I had Voxpro, I could show you visually what was going on. All right, we'll be back with Chris Mannix.
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard, cheat.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Boston Lee. Down the right side. Tatum coming strong. Two-hand slam, and Jason Tatum in the valley has come alive.
Somebody just got slapped.
Tatum has the last seven Boston points. Celtics by 19, 80-61. Tatum's got 26.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Chris Mannix is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. You can also see him on NBC Boston Sports. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Mannix, hello, sir.
What's going on, guys?
Just investigating farts.
Tell me you've seen the video with Chris Matthews.
I have. I'm still unclear on who was the old Seinfeld line, the second farter, maybe.
Well, listen, grow a backbone and say it's Matthews.
Come out with a hot take.
I got no takes there. I got enough.
So this team has been obviously fun to watch. I mean, where do you start? Because the main thing that I've been noticing is that the Tatum and Jaylen Brown are becoming all the things that we wanted them to be at this point. They've found a way to, and I don't know if it's because Kyrie's not there. It sure does seem that way, where they've got more time with the ball, more room to grow. But each one of them seems to be moving into that position where they're becoming the player we want to be, correct?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that at least what we've seen so far, the results are twofold. One, it's I think this team likes each other more this year, and I guess it's kind of easy to pin that on Kyrie and kind of the problems he stirred up last year. But it does seem, being around them a lot, like a much looser locker room and a much different type of team. And the second part is, though, even though Kemba came in as a high-volume scorer, he's gone out of his way early and often to be more of a facilitator. And he said this to me a couple of times in the preseason, that he didn't want to be the player he was in Charlotte, where he was this absurd usage rate player that had to carry the team. And he's shown that. I mean, there's been times at different points he's taken over the game, but he views it as part of his responsibility to take these guys, Tatum and Brown, to the next level. And the way the ball's moved around and the opportunities they've created, it's really given them that chance. And for the most part, they've shined. I mean, Brown, I think, is much better at finishing this year than he was last year. Tatum's kind of ebbed and flowed a little bit, but I think he's going to turn out to be a much better player this year. So it's all kind of working out for them so far.
You know, you made a pretty good point on Twitter the other night. It's about their lack of big men. And so I've seen them, like, I mean, when Marcus Smart was on Giannis a while back, I mean, that was interesting. And they kept him from being Superman, which he usually is when he's out there. I mean, they made him play like a normal NBA player. He still got his points. But is this sustainable without a big man? Can the Celtics continue to play at this pace if they don't have any guy down low to take on people like Joel Embiid and Giannis once again and other players like that in the league?
I think it's sustainable in the regular season. I don't believe you can win the highest level in the playoffs without more size. I mean, they can – in the regular season, you can – kind of smoke and mirrors the situation. You can, you know, try different things and have a gang rebounding mentality. But when you get to the second round, you know who's going to be there. I mean, it's most likely going to be Philadelphia, even though the Sixers are struggling a little bit right now, or Milwaukee. And those two teams are huge. I mean, they've got, you know, size and waves in that front line with Horford and Embiid and Philly and the Lopez brothers and Giannis in Milwaukee. I just don't think you can go into a series like that with Daniel Tice and Robert Williams and Grant Williams and Enes Kanter and expect to win. I mean, you know, that'll all bear out over a seven-game series. with one of those types of teams. So whether it's a trade or the buyout market, I think they've got to find some way to get a big body in there if they want to compete. And if they – look, if they do get that body, they can compete. I mean, you've seen in the NBA, it's kind of wide open. I mean, I think the Clippers, who Boston will see on Wednesday, might separate themselves in the coming weeks with Paul George and Kawhi playing together. But at this point, I don't see a boogeyman out there. I don't see a team that's totally unbeatable out there. So a big man might tilt the difference with the Celtics.
Yeah, you talked about the Sixers struggling, too. Have you kind of changed your analysis of the East as to where the Celtics stand in all of this? Or is this just kind of still in let's see how it all shakes out mode?
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about Philadelphia. Their shooting has always been a concern, and you know, Ben Simmons has been uneven, and I don't think he's taken a three yet as we sit here talking, but their defense is just too good. They're going to be able to win some ugly, ugly games, especially in the playoffs when they can grind games out and grind to a halt. I mean, they'll win games with scoring totals in the 80s. I mean, they're just that. I think they're that good defensively. I still think that in the East, you've got Milwaukee and Philly at the top tier and everybody else kind of jockeying for position in the next tier. I mean, I think Boston is probably the best of the rest, but when you're looking at playoff teams, I think those two teams are cut above.
Hey, Chris, the Celtics wrap up the road trip. They get the Clippers and then Denver. Can you just talk about what Doc Rivers has done with the Clippers? He didn't want to rebuild here in Boston. He's got now, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George there. They made out great in that Chris Paul sign and trade. But what are the Celtics going to be looking at the next couple of games here with the Clippers and Denver Nuggets?
Well, I mean, it depends on which Clippers team is available at this point. I mean, I don't know what Kawhi's health looks like. He missed the game last night, and you know, when it comes to Kawhi Leonard, you know, caution is the word of the day. I mean, they'll take it easy with him. So there's a real chance I think he misses that game against the Celtics tomorrow night. But you know, they've assembled kind of the perfect team. I mean, you watch Paul George in the few games he's played since he's come back. He has been great with that group. And when Kawhi gets back and is fully healthy, they're the type of team that's sort of built to play in the modern NBA. What I mean by that is they can switch everything. They've got five guys, or at least four, that can switch and play every single position. They're kind of like what Boston was you know, the last couple of years when you had Horford at the five and you could maneuver around. Well, you can do that. You have the potential to be a great defensive team. And if they're really good offensively and not great, their offensive firepower is ridiculous. I mean, when you could bring Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell off the bench and have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard closing games, yeah, that's why I think that in the coming weeks, as Kawhi's healthy, that's going to be a team that rattles off 7, 8, 9 wins in a row and starts to separate from the field.
Yeah, Chris, we were talking to Danny Ainge the other day, and he had made some comment somewhere recently about how there's just a ridiculous amount of numbers that are retired, and at some point, you know, you're going to – maybe you need to consider – people being able to use those numbers, because what is it, 22 up there and a nickname? I mean, it's like at some point, I know that when they were trying to get Kevin Durant, you know, his number was already taken. I think it was, unfortunately, Len Bias, right? Reggie Lewis, rather.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And so they weren't able to use that number. Do you think that the Celtics should reconsider and start issuing those numbers again and maybe set up something like a Ring of Honor instead?
You know, it's an interesting question, because you're right. I mean, there's going to be like, you know, is what like a quarter of the numbers of 1 to 100 will be retired up there at some point. I mean, you're talking Pierce is going to go up there, or Pierce, and then Kevin Garnett maybe goes up there, and I don't know. I mean, I think there's still enough numbers to go around, if that makes sense. I mean, that's going to lead to some funky numbers that'll be used in the days to come. You'll see, like, you know, Ray Bourque type numbers, you know, on players at some point, but I still think it's okay. I mean, maybe 5-10 years from now, if you know, let's say if Tatum and Brown turn out to be the kind of players you want to see their number retired, you have to reconsider it. But right now, I think there's enough to go around.
Hey, Chris, I know you're a big boxing guy. We got Wilder Ortiz this weekend. Listen, highly anticipated rematch here. We just wanted to get your breakdown on Wilder, this match, and could he look ahead maybe to another Fury fight?
Yeah, I'm going to fly out on Saturday for that, and highly anticipated might be a stretch to me. I mean, Ortiz is like, he's listed 40. He's one of those Cuban defectors who could wind up be closer to 50 at this point. Nobody's actually sure how old he is, but it's two big punchers, and Luis Ortiz was the last guy to give Deontay Wilder any kind of real test. He had him buckled in their fight first time a year ago, and we'll see. I mean, I guess the punch is the last thing to go with a heavyweight. George Foreman proved that out. Maybe he's got a chance out there, but I still think Wilder is just a better fighter and a win more convincingly this time around. That the biggest heavyweight fight that can be made now is that rematch with Wilder and Tyson Fury. And, you know, in talking to both sides, there is a fight deal in place. If Wilder wins this fight, they've figured out the financial terms, that fight will take place in the first quarter of 2020. And, you know, look, we need more big fights in heavyweights. I'm going to Saudi Arabia next month for the Andy Ruiz, Anthony Joshua rematch, which will be huge. Maybe this could lead to some major heavyweight fights in 2020 if this trend continues.
Are you going to Saudi Arabia?
I am. I'm part of the Zone broadcast team that's broadcasting the fight. So I'm on Air Saudi, headed there on December 2nd.
Now, are they treating you well? Like, are you going to be staying in a nice place? I got to think that, you know, if they're flying you all the way out there, hopefully you're not, you know, staying.
Because Ricochet was there, and he said it was kind of sketchy.
WWE had issues.
Yeah, we talked to a guy from WWE who said that.
Either way, I don't care if they have me in the equivalent of a courtyard by Marriott. I'm staying in my room watching iTunes movies until the fight. But that's pretty much the extent of my desire to kind of go tourism out there.
All right. Well, listen, Chris Mannix, thank you so much. We can read him in Sports Illustrated and see him over there on NBC Sports Boston. Thanks so much for the time.
You got it, guys.
All right, see you, man.
There you go. Look at that. Murray slipping in a little selfish bet.
He's trying to get like, some inside
Mannix
info.
A hell of a, like, he
I know exactly
he's
what
a, he's a great boxing writer. He's obviously covered the sport for a long time.
But Joe just
trying to get an inside
tip. Trying to get a little inside
there
tip right there.
Always
by the
working
way,
an angle.
Wilder's minus 650.
Listen,
would you put 650 to win 100?
I don't know enough about these guys.
Would you put $6,500 down to win 1,000?
No.
See, I'd take the dog. He mentioned George Foreman, 40 years old, knocked him out. Maybe
I mean, I don't know why anyone would make that bet.
I'm going to lose another $300 on that bet this week, aren't I? That's going to be your lock of the week. Isn't
No.
Yeah, being in Saudi Arabia was interesting. What Ricochet said, because I mean, I know they just went over there, and I've heard nothing but that it was kind of like most of the guys just stayed in their room.
There was supposedly a rumor that Vince McMahon pulled like the feed for Saudi Arabia, and so Saudi Arabia was like, all right, well, if they're gonna pull the feed, we're just gonna leave everybody on their plane. And like I think Ricochet had to say what he had to say, but something happened.
Oh yeah, that's not a part of the world that I want to go to right now. there's shadiness running amok in that part of the world. All right, we can talk more about Tom Brady. He had his hard-hitting interview with Jim Gray, as he does every Monday. And Jim Gray, again, put words in his, or said the things that Tom did not want to say, but wanted out there. So we can go over that again.
It sure does seem that way.
Well, it's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, they go over the questions together. Tom says, will you ask me this question in this way? And then I'll refute it. But I wanted it out there. All right, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Yeah, that's good. I mean, you got it. Well, what's his face shows up. All right, so Rich, we got something very exciting tomorrow.
8 a.m. tomorrow, a brand new edition of Everyone's Angry in Brookline. These are real 911 calls from the angriest town in America, maybe even the world. And Brookline in the news a lot lately. There's been some stories of people who are complaining about some shenanigans in their backyard. Not any of the
is
bad
the
stuff.
CrossFit thing?
No, but the CrossFit thing, that has been in the news as well. And that was funny because we talked about it first on the show.
Yeah.
The woman who had made that professional sign that says, like, suffering from CrossFit. And that became a news story. No, but there is a new one that involves a business in Brookline. And maybe we'll kind of... It was funny because the person that they interviewed on the news story, I've heard their 911 calls.
Really?
So we have that. On top of that, we've got some calls like you've never heard before. We're going to go next level tomorrow, 8 a.m., another edition of Everyone's Angry in Brookline, brand new.
All right. Gronkowski makes his announcement at 9 o'clock. And after that announcement, I am not making the show can do whatever it wants. I am never saying Rob Gronkowski again.
Well, today it's news.
Yes,
okay. and then tomorrow it's over.
Okay, unless he does something like really funny, like he screws something up.
Well, I'll talk about Rob Gronkowski in his ventures out. Like, I mean, the guy's a great personality. He's funny as hell. I love the guy.
But as far as him
coming back to play, no, I'm not going to any kind of tease that next year, because if you didn't hear the announcement, there wasn't even an announcement. At 9 o'clock, I think, is when he's going to make it official. But there was a story that leaked out this morning about how Rob Gronkowski is going to be in Miami for the Super Bowl, but not to play, to throw a big party instead called Gronk Beach. And that's a big music festival, and it's going to feature Rick Ross and Flo Rida, DJ Carnage, Cascade, Diplo, and Blau. And it's essentially basically just going to be like a from 1 to 7 p.m. music all day. And it sounds like he might be taking it on tour as well. So there you go. That is the big announcement. He's doing a music festival. More than likely, that's what he's going to say at 9 o'clock.
Yes, and then that will be in addition to the 4,000 other parties that are going on that weekend.
But the main thing about that isn't what he's doing. It's what he's not doing, and that is coming back to the Patriots.
Okay. After 9 o'clock, though, I'm only speaking for myself. He is the man who shall not be named.
Please,
his words will not pass through my lips.
Please tell me there is going to be a Gathering of the Juggalos-esque 20-minute-long commercial for this festival.
Okay, that I will play.
If he does that, and he makes some huge super-produced with him and the Gronk brothers having to explain what exactly the Gronk Beach Festival
is. Kind of like an Eazy-E Wet and Wild party, something like that, just the whole Gronk.
Well, the first Juggalo things, when they did the Juggalo, like, weekends.
Yeah. Oh, it was the best.
It was like an hour long, and it would be like
Sweet Sugar Slam.
But it would be like, hey, like, the Killer Boys, like, Murder Incorporated, Gilbert Godfrey.
So helicopter rides. You're like, what? Yeah,
exactly. Like, that's dying. So, all right, before we get to Tom Brady and all that, there is big news, and you can call us immature, but it's not the case. Farts in media are being investigated as journalism, and we were joking around about it, but... what pot is that coming out of?
Dan has it, I think.
I got to have some control. Not you, Dan, you're not doing anything wrong, but I got to have some control on this stuff. So, like, you remember when Francesca farted even before the underwear was dry, there was something in New York Daily News.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where in the middle of the break, Mike Francesa read the headline.
Mike Francesa appears to fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I watched this all develop last night. It was probably around 7 o'clock that the first offending fart actually happened. And by the way, Fart Court has deemed that was indeed a fart.
Oh, it was an opening shot.
Yeah, I mean, if you did not hear it, here once again is the...
Who were on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard...
Okay, listening back to it, maybe it was the guy.
Ooh, you think so?
I have been swayed.
Okay.
Because there is a...
Did you find the second Chris Matthews fart? Somebody sent it to me.
Okay.
Check my Twitter account. See if you can find it. Because then we just have to compare the tones and the girth.
Because there was a pause as if he wanted people to know. Maybe it's a self-destructive personality.
I mean, I'm looking at this, and
but you got to read the text.
Okay, so we had some tweets come in, which, I mean, first of all, this is why this is so amazing, because whenever anyone farts on TV now, it becomes like legitimate news sources report on it. So a reporter for, BuzzFeed, whatever, a reporter for BuzzFeed reached out to the representative, Slalwell, who is in the split screen with Chris Matthews, and said, Slalwell breaking. Denies it was him who farted on MSNBC. And it has a text chain between the two of them. And she goes, I'm really sorry about this, but I have to ask if this was you or someone in the studio. He put, it was not me, and I didn't even hear it when I was speaking. And she put, you look like you heard it and are stifling a laugh. And she said, I definitely did not hear it.
Mm-hmm. Just like politicians, can't trust them.
Somebody sent us an infrared photo of what happened, and there was indeed a cloud of smoke. Somebody said, when that guy is talking, there's an echo. When we hear the fart, there's no echo. And to that I say, we present Exhibit 1 in this case.
Who was the Bob Wiley, who was the offensive line coach for Cleveland? How much would you pay for him to sit in a chair for 3 hours with that thermal camera on him?
I mean, you already do it on Twitch here. I mean, I just sit here. No, Bob Wiley, though, his stomach does move every time he yells.
He's like, oh, yeah. It'd just be this cloud of green everywhere around him.
I mean, there are people who are positive 100% that you can hear him pause right after a fart comes out. They say it's got to be him. And he does, his eyes do make the kind of like borderline watery for a moment.
Listening. Well, the whole thing was borderline watery. I mean, let's be honest. There's a lot of pressure.
We're on the phone listening to the president talk about this swap of dirt for U.S. military aid.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard...
He does stop.
He does.
I mean, there's so many... I mean, it's a fart, but then there's so many layers to who did it. All right, do we have the original?
I've got it here, and...
Okay. All right, we'll effort on that. But when we come back, we can talk a little bit about Jim Gray with Tom Brady yesterday.
Boston's home for sports on your phone. Sox, Celtics, Bruins, Pats, News, podcasts. Listen live from anywhere.
Something is the key to all of this.
98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Tom Brady has been visibly miserable as his team is 9-1 after the win against an Eagles team that was at home and it wasn't a pushover by any stretch of the imagination. The offense struggled. They can't run the ball. Well, how long has it been, Murray? How many games he didn't have a TD pass?
Who is this? I'm
Brady.
Sorry. Oh, it's three games. I believe it's the third time this year he hasn't thrown a TD pass.
He hasn't thrown it. And so he's sulking based on this. And when he has his Jim Gray interview, obviously Jim Gray and him go over the questions before they are asked. And I would imagine that sometimes they're not even asked at the same time.
This is all strange because I've said this before, but I don't remember him being this joyless.
It's never happened.
I mean, I've seen him be upset with how the team played or how his offense played on a couple games, but I mean, it's like all season.
But it's not sulking. It was like an anger. Now he's sulking. And it's hard. I don't know. And you can say, well, it's his contract, or you could say that I don't give me the weapons crap.
The 3 hour game, I'm tired thing. That's what pushed it over for me.
He's sulking. He's sulking around. He's pissed off. I don't know what he's so pissed off about.
And I don't even mind that he's saying this. I'm just saying that you've got to, if you're somebody who is worried about Tom Brady not playing anymore, I just keep going back to the time that he said, and I would love to find this quote. The time where he said that he's going to play until he just doesn't find it to be fun anymore. And it just doesn't sound like he's having fun this year. Even when they win, it sounds like he's at a funeral. So I just, all these different things adding up, and it's kind of depressing, especially if you're a fan of the team, because, you know, the house being sold, all the stuff that he did on Instagram with Antonio Brown, even after Antonio Brown took a shot at the owner, there's that, and then there's one thing after the next. It just doesn't seem like he's happy or that he really... wants to be here as much as he used to. He's also for the first time playing in a year where he doesn't have a guaranteed year after this, or he's not, you know, he can basically opt out if he wants to.
And he's not a top five quarterback in the league. And you could say the team made mistakes, and they have, but to say that they haven't tried to surround him with weapons is nonsense.
So
I mean, they have a former first round pick in Dorsett. They have a first round pick from last year that's playing. They have Julian Edelman, who's probably one of the best slot receivers of all time. They spent a first-round pick on Sony Michel. They spent a third-round pick on another running back who was apparently too crappy to play. They spent another first-round pick on a tackle. I mean, they've done a lot. I mean, they tried to sign Antonio
Brown.
But
they whiffed. That's the point.
They whiffed, see, the thing is, if the attitude of the team was we're going to completely ignore the offense and we're just going to and we're going to, you know, go all in on the defense, that's one thing. But I mean, they've tried to put pieces around
it. It didn't work.
But I know, but if you're Brady, are you sulking because it didn't work?
There's certain things I'd be upset about, and there's certain things you can't bitch about.
I mean, they went. You they gave him a second round pick on Sanu. I mean, they've.
That's
right.
That's a good move, and that's something that Tom Brady shouldn't be complaining about.
They gave up a lot for Sanu too. They gave up too much.
Yes, but using Josh Gordon as being, oh, hey, we're taking care of you. That's not a good method. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all knew that at any moment he could no longer be with his team.
They cut him.
I also think that Brady, and there was even a report that said this, that Brady's pissed that they cut Antonio Brown.
Okay, they're 9-1. If they have Antonio Brown, what are they? I mean, what's the best case scenario?
I agree with you, Fred. I'm just saying that this is what's going on in his head.
Then it's
selfish. And if you want to, maybe it is.
It's a completely selfish. If you're 9-1 and you're the favorite by far to win the AFC, what do you want? You want to because you're not as good as you used to be.
So this is interesting.
Are you getting pissed because you're getting hit?
This is interesting right here, Fred. Because I mean, Joe Murray was mentioning this to me off the air, and he's right. If you do believe that all the stuff that Jim Gray asks Tom Brady is approved beforehand, and they have a conversation,
almost guaranteed,
which it sure does seem that way week after week, then you would think that Tom Brady wanted Jim Gray to ask this question. Take a listen to this.
So, Tom, if you are reading what is in the newspaper, or you are watching what is on television, and you tell us you're not, so let me fill you in. Here's what's being said. Team has no speed. There's no threats. Your best receivers are slot receivers. The team is short on talent. The offensive line can't protect you. No speed, no separation. It's just really, really not much around you. When you don't have these weapons, and this is what is being said, and you're getting clobbered, now the question.
Okay. Just that right there. Did Jim Gray mention anything about a criticism of Tom Brady?
No. He said there's no speed except for Philip Dorsett and the kid they took in the first round.
So could you say, if you believe,
no speed on that team.
So you could say, if you believe that those two speak beforehand or the questions are approved,
yes,
that Tom Brady wanted that right there to get out
there. Yes, of course. There's no denying it. It happened. It's not an if. It's a yes.
Well, let's hear what Tom Brady said to that.
How do you break through all of that frustration with all of this going on?
Look, everyone thinks, you know, they analyze every game and they know everything that's going on. And, you know, we talk about ignoring the noise. And there's a lot of noise. And when you play great, you're the best team in the world. When you play bad, you're the worst team in the world. You can't beat anyone. Riding the roller coaster of emotions. We have a lot of good players on our team. And we're trying to excel. We're trying to be, you know, to play at a very high level. And I don't think we've reached our potential yet. And I'll be excited when we do. And we've had a lot of things that have happened over the course here, as every team has, dealing with, you know, some different players and getting familiar with some different things. And that's just the challenge of the NFL season. So I know everybody has predictions and power rankings and all that, and that's fine. That covers a lot of ground over the course.
You're number one
of the
week,
but for us, we've got to stay focused on what our task is. We got a very tough matchup against Dallas, who's coming in playing very well.
Who you'll be
on Sunday. We got a home game. You know, we'll be excited to play that game, and hopefully we play better than we played last week. And, you know, that's where the optimism is for me.
Okay, so here's the quote that Tom Brady gave last year. Someone's asking when he can stop. He goes, "There's nothing I love to do more than running out and playing football. Just because someone says, well, you should stop playing at this age or at this age because that's what people did before you, I don't really buy that. I kind of want to make my own decisions. If the game's not fun anymore, which I highly doubt it because it's fun for my parents and they're in their 70s and it's fun for me and it's fun for my kids, it's just something that I love to do."
Okay, can I say one thing, though, that he said in the Gray interview is that when you lose, you're the worst team in the world, and when you win, you're the best team in the world. You just won on the road in Philadelphia. So you're the best team in the world.
Right, you're still tied for the best record in the league too.
Yeah, you're
you and the Niners. You're tied.
Yeah, there's a punter's chance that the Ravens could get home field, but I don't see that happening.
How I took that was Jim Gray said everything
that
Brady wanted to say.
Yep,
and then Brady said everything that he should say. That's kind of the way that I took
it. But I don't get when he says, when you lose, you're the worst team in the world, and when you win, you're the best team in the world. You just won.
True.
You've won 9 times. What are you so upset about? And people are saying, oh, the offensive line. They're 9-1. So take a hit. I mean, you can't run the ball. Take a hit. And I would say if you're taking a lot more hits, it's because you may be half a second slower.
And they are the ball. As of Sunday, they were the third highest scoring team in the league.
So, offensively?
Highest scoring.
Yeah,
yes,
because
offensively.
They got a lot of defensive.
Because there were a ton of games at the beginning of the season that didn't start well, and then like in the third and fourth quarter, they racked up points. That might have left a bad taste in your mouth if you were him because of how many times you got the red zone and you weren't able to score, and how many times Sony Michel just got stuck at the 1 yard line. Yeah. But they scored points. And if you look statistically, that's a really good offense compared to the rest of the league.
And they've been down double digits on the road last two games and battle back. So I think the Cowboys game is going to be tough this week. But again, the Patriots at home, we'll see. They're a much better team at home.
All right. Well, Rob Gronkowski is making a huge announcement. So there will be no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.